Blessed Sabbath to one and all, and welcome to our Let There Be Light Ministry home church on this wonderful Sabbath day. Welcome to those that are on the phone and to those that will be listening to the recorded service at a later time, and also welcome to those that have tuned in to WLMR Radio. Before we get into our service, I have some announcements to make. The last Sabbath of this month, which would be the last Sabbath of this year of 2013, which is December 28, we will be having communion on this Sabbath. And I'll continue to make announcements before we actually get to the day. So just want to let you know now that the last Sabbath of this year and of this month, we're going to be holding communion. And we look forward to having you all with us and to partake of this wonderful service that our Lord has left us until He comes. The other announcement I have is that this software program iVocalize that we're operating on now is version 5. And I've just been recently informed that iVocalize is discontinuing version 5 and is only going to be offering version 6 after the 26th of this month. I then contacted them and asked if they would be willing to sell version 5, and they said no. They said that it's being discontinued and they're not going to be offering it anymore. So then I checked out version 6, and it appears to be a very decent program, and it has a similar format to what you're accustomed to here in the room, but it's a little bit different. The biggest difference is that it operates within Google Chrome browser. So instead of it operating in the Java format, it's going to operate within the browser that's found in Google Chrome, which means everybody is going to have to freely download Google Chrome and then register with them as a user in order to continue meeting here in our home church room. And again, this is after December 26. So we still have another Sabbath to go before the change happens. So the reason I'm telling you this now, and I'll again make an announcement on the next Sabbath, is to get you prepared and to already have Google Chrome downloaded and already register with them as a user so that you'd be able to continue coming in our home church meetings and not miss out. And we don't want to lose a single individual. We want to have you continue to fellowship with us. But this is something beyond my control. There's nothing I can do about it. And the only other choice would to be to find a different software chat room program and utilize that. So, you know, we're familiar with iVocalize platform, and that platform is being carried over into Google Chrome, but it's going to operate within the browser, which makes it a lot easier and much safer meeting place, because they're not able to hack into it like they've been able to hack the servers through the Java platform. So, you know, it's a little inconvenience, but I have the link for Google Chrome, and it also operates under Macintosh and some of the other IS programs. So please feel free to email me, and I'll be glad to send you the links, and you can have that all downloaded and registered and then be able to continue fellowshipping with us. Again, I don't want to lose a single soul. I want to have you all come and continue to fellowship with us in love and unity, and to continue praising our God together as a united group. But after the 26th of this month, we are being forced to go to the new version 6 that operates under Google Chrome. So this isn't the regular Google search program. This is Chrome that Google puts out. So again, please feel free to email me, and if you have any questions, I can answer them there, or perhaps after the service today, if you have some questions on this, we can address them then. So that's the announcements that I have. The other issue that I want to address is many of you are aware that we were not, Michelle and I were not able to be in the room last night. We got word that our dear beloved neighbor was in the hospital dying. Excuse me. So we went to visit her, and I'm pretty sure she was aware that we were there, but appreciate your prayers, and it was unexpected. She seemed to be getting better, and then we learned that the infection that was in her peritoneum, she had peritonitis, and it was being treated with antibiotics. But the infection in her abdomen area found a way into her blood. And barring a miracle from God, she just has hours to live. So it's in God's hands. And I appreciate your prayers. I wish it could be better news, but we know that all things are in God's hands. And His perfect will be done. But my prayer with her was that if she had any known unconfessed sins, that God would reveal it to her mind so that she could immediately recognize and ask forgiveness for these sins. And that if all known sin had been forgiven, and she just had unknown sin, that the precious blood merits and righteousness of our Savior would completely cover her and wash her clean, so that she could truly rest in the Lord and accept His will, whether that was for a miraculous healing or for going to sleep until He comes. So I appreciate all your prayers and your thoughts and your concerns, and especially keep her dear family and loved ones in prayers, because it's, as you know, a tough time for them as well. So again, thank you, dear ones. The opening song for today's service is entitled Wonderful, Merciful Savior. And indeed He is. And the link for the lyrics is found at lightministries.com/ID240.htm. Wonderful, Merciful Savior.
Praise God.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and Friend, who would have thought that a man could rescue the souls of man? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, comforter, keeper. Spirit, we long to embrace. You are full hopes when all hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You bring the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty and infinite Father, faithfully loving your own. Here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Amen, and thank you, dear sister. I ask that you please bow your heads and kneel for opening prayer to today's service. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much that all things are in your hands and under your control, that you see the end from the beginning, and that you arrange things according to thy perfect will, especially with the idea of salvation as the goal, and we thank you so much for doing so. Father, we give you full and complete control of today's meeting. We ask that thy presence be in our midst, and thank you for being here. We also pray that the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit be here as well, and thank you both for being here also. I pray that you'll be with Sister Rose. Please touch her lips with the live coal from off the heavenly altar. Please give her the words of life and give her the extra wisdom and discernment to speak these words forth to us all and help us to be able to comprehend and understand the truths that are being shared. Help us, Father, to know that our creation was not an afterthought. It was something planned. And as it is planned, every single part of us was by divine planning. And help us to see the spiritual application to this plan. And thank you so much for doing so. Father, take control of this movement. Take the helm of control. Purify thy people and purify thy church. Rid it from all false brethren. Rid it from all deceivers. And allow the honest in heart to rise and shine knowing that the light of truth is already here. Let them live it, and then take the truth to the world. And thank you so much for doing so. And Father, we have some special prayer requests. We pray for dear neighbor Karen, that you will please comfort her, and if she still has known unconfessed sins, please let her mind be lucid and impress the fact on her mind that time is very short and that she needs to confess and repent of these. And thank you for thy merciful kindness in doing so. Please also be with her loved ones and friends and comfort them, and also reveal to them how short and fragile life is, so that they too may get ready while they still have a chance. And we thank you for doing so. We also pray for Sister Mary, that she may be completely healed, and that she will know that your hand has been involved, and that she may have a wonderful testimony to share with others. We also have unspoken prayer requests, and thank you, Father, for knowing all about these and answering them according to thy perfect will. We also pray that you'll be with Sister Jean and give her the wisdom to know how to deal with any emergencies or situations that arise, and thank you for doing so. Also comfort her and the family. And Father, we finally pray for extra wisdom and discernment for each one of us, that we might know what to do in all areas of our lives with the fact of glorifying you in mind, and especially grant us the wisdom to know how to spread your cause of truth around the world so that we may get off of this wicked earth and enter into eternity soon. We thank you for hearing and answering this prayer according to thy perfect will and in your perfect timing. And thank you for being with us now. In Jesus' precious name and for his sake, we pray. Amen.
Have blessed Sabbath to everyone in the room, and for those that are listening on the phone, and for those that will be listening to the recording in a much later date. Today, what we're going to do, by God's grace, is take the advice of our brethren that we had from last Sabbath. Due to the consideration that we have to do the segment of the sermon in an amount of time, we were not able to allow the slide with the body parts to stay long enough. So right now we're going to take the opportunity to invite any one of the dear ones that did begin with the beginning of the series of the sanctuary message, that they may be able to ask at this moment the very question that they may have. I will bring up that particular slide and we will discuss, you know, whatever question that they do have. But before that, I just wanted to share something. The Bible tells us that Christ came in the volume of the book that was written of him. The Word of God not only tells us about his divinity, his humanity, but he also talks about that body that he has taken, our human nature, to be able to glorify the Father. That sanctuary that he tabernacled himself in was designed by the Creator, for we were fearfully and wonderfully made. And everything in our human anatomy speaks of that glory. So I just want to read Hebrews chapter 10, but if you want a little bit of more detail concerning Hebrew, it really talks about how when Christ came here, he was talking about all the different things that was being done in the sacrificial service of the tabernacle. And the problem that many that was doing the service daily didn't fully understand the purpose of what they were performing. Many took the misunderstanding that God glorified in the sacrifice and the spilling of blood, but that wasn't the reason. The whole purpose of the sacrificial was to really let man be acquainted of the holiness of that lamb and why blood was the remission that is needed for the forgiveness of sin. So if you want a good reference of what this sanctuary message was all about and why Christ had to come, and the coming of Christ was the ending of that dispensation, which was the physical, he came to be able to magnify and to make it honorable the purpose of why the Jewish system was created. So maybe in your spare time, read Hebrews chapter 10, and it will give you a little bit where the Lord really came, especially from chapter 10, verse 7, which says, "Then say I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do the will, O God." And the sanctuary was especially for that reason. So I found two quotations from the Bible commentary to let us understand why it's so important for the sanctuary message to be understood. From verses 19 to 21 of chapter 10 of Hebrew, the title is Entering the Sanctuary with Christ. This is the great day of atonement, and our advocate is standing before the Father, pleading as our intercessor. In place of wrapping about us the garment of self-righteousness, we should be found daily humbling ourselves before God, confessing our own individual sins, seeking the pardon of our transgressions, and cooperating with Christ in the work of preparing our soul to reflect the divine image. Unless we enter the sanctuary above and unite with Christ in working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, we shall be weighed in the balance of the sanctuary and shall be found, and shall be pronounced wanting. So the sanctuary message is really letting us be able to connect with our most high priest in heaven, to allow us to understand that the whole plan of salvation was God with us. We needed to prepare our tabernacle to allow God to dwell in us. And how we can be able to obtain that? The perfect example that the Lord gave us through his Son, by surrendering his will to the will of the Father. This surrender is body, soul, and spirit. We can be intellectually understanding the gospel and all the purpose. But if our bodies are broken, we cannot give this gospel if that body is broken. We must surrender all will that we can be able to perfectly show to the world a God that in all his holiness, in order for us to do that, we have to let body, soul, and mind be given to the Almighty. There's another quote that I just want to say before we begin the questions and the answer on the slide. Seeking the assembly of the saints is very important. Take into consideration that whenever we miss one service or a couple of service, you really fall behind in some of the things that was already shown. So we have to be like those Christians in Berea and Thessalonica. We have to look and see if these things are so. Do not take what has been presented before you as complete truth. It is to investigate, just like our brother did said last week. It is a provocative study. When Christ came and he was sharing the plan of salvation, it was also a provocative message. Because everything that he was saying, it was an ending of the temple service. And the Lord was leading a way more perfectly for them to be able to do the work that they exercised so many times during their services. And yet when God came, they rejected it. When the Lord gave them, I would say the sanctuary was given to them a little bit later, but the sacrifice service, it lasts 4,000 years. From the first lamb that was sacrificed right before the gate of the Eden, in front of the two cherubim, the Lord has been giving us what was the plan of salvation. So they're coming together to be able to get the knowledge that we need. The Bible tells you in that particular chapter, it says, seek the assembling of the saints. Those who do not feel the necessity of seeking the assembly of the saints with their precious assurance that the Lord will meet with them, show how lightly they value the help that God has provided for them. Satan is constantly at work to wound and to poison the soul in order to withstand his efforts. We must breathe in the atmosphere of heaven. We must individually get hold and keep hold of Christ. Brethren, we have to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Nothing that has been presented has came from the lips of man. We have what God created, the body, the anatomy. We have the word of God, which is the law. And we also have the spirit of prophecy. I have to use what the Lord gave me to see these things. Because when I read the spirit of prophecy and the Bible, then I see everything that was in the anatomy that uttered the glory of God. So this is how I'm going to begin this service. And I was open for any one of the brethren, any slide that you were impressed to ask questions, now you can be able to come up to the mic and share with us. Hope and pray that all of us will be blessed.
Dear Sister Rose, may I suggest that you start to go through the slides dealing with the different parts of the body and give a very brief explanation of these, and then if we have any questions, they can be asked at that time. Because at the moment, I don't remember which particular slide and then the questions I had pertaining to that. So if you just go through the slides, I think that might be an easier way to deal with that. Like with slide number 4, showing that the Ark of the Covenant with the presence of God in the midst applies to the center of the brain. So if you could just briefly go through and explain this in better detail than I did, and then open it up for anyone having questions on this point, and then if no one has any questions or any further questions, you can then go on to the next slide that deals with the different parts of the brain. So thank you, sister.
No problem, dear brother. Okay. I'm going to use the pointer. Can you all see the pointer? Praise the Lord. Okay. The sanctuary that the Lord had given a copy to Moses to be able to place it here on the earth, it was a symbol of Christ's body. And how can we relate to these things to the truth? In the sanctuary message, all the furnitures that are in there was a symbol of something that we have in our anatomy. To really take those scriptures that was given to us, where it says it was just a type and Christ was the anti-type, the type could not really remove all our sins. It was just covering unto the one that could come and remove the sin. It was Jesus. So only through Christ's body can we be truly sanctified. So if we take a look on the picture of the ark, we see that on the chest, on the very bottom of the ark, is where three things dwell. We know it was the Ten Commandments, the manna, and also the rod of Aaron that budded. So the response that will be given wasn't from the high priest. It tells you that the actual glory of the Lord will move from one cherubim to the other one, which one said no and the other one said yes. So the ark was a means of guarding of what God had given as a command to the people of God as he led them. Our brains, it is the command center where it dictates every organ in our body of how to move. It will actually tell us how to be able to live, because the law of God is planted in our mind. In this part of the brain, it is called the cerebellum, which the Holy Spirit help us to be able to bring to our remembrance. So everything we store in our mind is stored in this area. So that is basically like the chest that carries the law. If we take the word of God, if we allow the commandments of God and his word to stay in our remembrance, this is how the Holy Spirit will bring and work out that same concept that happens in the most holy place with the ark. So the brain and the ark, it is what we call the center, just like it's the central article of the furniture, because there is where God's presence was to lead the people of how to be able to move, when to move, if the sin was forgiven or not. This object that was being placed in the most holy place, we in our body, we also have a most holy place, that what we place inside of our being, it is what the Lord is going to use. So if we don't take the word of God and place it in our heart, not the heart of our chest, but the heart in our mind, the Lord will use the Holy Spirit to bring it to our remembrance, that we ourselves also will be guided. Okay? So the brain is the citadel of the whole man. It is basically the lawgiver. It is the one that gives us the law, that the Lord is actually controlling our being, so we may be able to know what is his will. I'm going to leave the mic open in case they have any questions.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, dear sister, the two cerebellums are picturing the two angels over the top of the ark. And the cerebellum below is picturing the box of the ark where the law is kept. So then the very center in between the two hemispheres is where the dwelling of Christ would take place in symbolism. So is that correct? Do I have that correct?
The cerebellum is the area where all our memories are stored. And the cerebrum is basically, just to be able to make it understand a little bit better, is one is a conscious mind and the other one is a subconscious mind. The Lord placed all of the information that we gather through the Word of God, everything is stored in the cerebellum area, to bring it to our cerebellum, equilibrium area, so we can be able to be conscious. So the same way how the Holy Spirit moves and brings to our remembrance all that is given to us by God, that's how we become aware of the things that we ought to do. The reason why they have so much similarity also is that we also have a left side and a right side in the atmosphere of our brain. Just like we have the right side of one angel and the left side of the other angel. So if you see the wings that are actually brought together, that actually touch each other according to the scripture, you notice that in our brain itself, you see the two wings that will be a type of our cerebral. And then there is two other areas that looks like the bottom wing of the same cerebral is right there on the side of the body. When I show you the other pictures, you're going to see where the eyes are actually placed in our brain. You're going to be able to see how the angels, the way how they're facing one another, looking towards the mercy seat. This is exactly how our brain is set up. So what I was trying to be able to relate is that in the very center of this area, I'm going to kind of highlight it. In this very center, just like the very center that we have here, it tells us that the Shekinah glory was right above it and basically was the one responsible for communicating how and what the Lord said. In this very area, we also have an organ that is responsible also to be able to let us know, because this very center is where the pituitary gland is, and it basically have the function of how Christ is actually pleading right before the mercy seat. I'm just going to change the slide so it could be able to be seen a little bit better, because that particular one was just to show how we have a similarity in the look. But it's not the actual look that we're looking for. We're talking about the function that made the similarity. Can you see where the eyes are? It's exactly how in the ark itself, they also look towards one another. The actual mercy seat that we were talking about. This area is where the pituitary gland is actually right above it. Now, can you see the actual wings touching one another? That's the way how the art is as well. So we're not talking about just looking because it looks alike. No, at the contrary, the function. That's why it tells us that Judah was the lawgiver, because the nervous system is responsible to be able to transmit all the messages to all the organs that is in our anatomy. We basically have 12 systems in our body. Today, in the anatomy book, they will actually say 11 because they actually have the reproductive system as one. But we know that the female and the male reproductive system are not the same. So we would take what the Word of God says and not really what man says. So the brain is responsible to tell those 12 systems how to be able to go about in our daily to keep us alive. Just like the ark was the place where the priest will meet once a year to be able to give the instruction to the children of Israel, is the same way how our brain functions to give us what we need to be able to proceed in our life. Any questions?
Hi, Sister Rose. I have a question. Did you say that there are two angels on both sides?
There are actually one on each side, just like here. The only reason why I have placed an actual art over this, in Stephen Hostel's book, is the only art that I have seen that was going exactly according to the Word of God. You're going to find a lot of art in the internet, but all of them is not going according to what the Lord had given Moses to be able to do so. And how we know that this particular image that was in the book of the cross and the shadow showing the ark, it was going more towards what the writing in the scripture said. And we have to go back and apply to the law of the testimony It says, speak not according to this word, there's no light in there. So I could not find no art that will actually go according to the word of God. So in order for me to be able to keep the word of God as it is, I had to be able to place the art according to how it was actually told in the Bible. It tells you exactly that two wings touched one another. There was right above the angel, and then there was one that was in the side of their body. Okay, artists might be able to do different in the one part and the one behind this particular art. They don't show nothing to show that there was actually an angel or a face of a man. They only put a lot of wings, and you couldn't really see. And remember, you have to be very careful to be able to hold any kind of doctrine that will be able to divert the people from the truth. Okay? So it's amazing to know that when man failed, God's witness remains. Looking at the anatomy, it shows you exactly how the Bible tells you how the ark was placed. So if one failed it, then the Lord say, find the other witness of the truth. So the ark, which it was a symbol not only of the presence of God, but also of the throne of God to show us, the two angels is the symbol of the angelic host that was around the actual throne of God. The brain has multitude of neurons. So basically, all the things that you see inside of all the lobes, you know, they have the temporal lobes, and you have the frontal lobes, but these lobes inside of it have all the neurons. And these neurons are the ones responsible for moving about, going into the body, and give what the brain is dictating. And that's how the angels are used. They are the messengers of God, helping us to work out our own salvation. If anybody has any other questions. Very good, Brother Sean. Just to be able to explain that part that you said, Brother Sean said the male reproductive system and the female reproductive system are each half of one. This is why in the marriage, when they come together, they become one, for they complete each other. And also to understand, Joseph had two sons that was added, if you remember, to the tribe that had made it 14. And that was Manasseh and Ephraim. So these are the two half tribes to be able to represent Joseph. And these two half tribes, just basically to make us understand how the male and the female reproductive system stand on their own right. So the reproductive system, it is a system that is divided by two. The male reproductive system and the female reproductive system are not the same. Okay? This is what the world wants us to know. It gives a little bit of relating to homosexuality. But we know that our God is not a God of confusion. When you say white is white and black is black, dark is dark, and basically light is light. So let's stick to what the perfection of our Creator is. He's not a God of confusion. Is there any other question? Bubble up. Being in consideration that I had to have, that only have 45 minutes to be able to, 45 and that's 1 hour. Sister White did also spoke about how long sermons were supposed to be. We can't overwhelm the hearer. It just like when the Lord in the midst of the multitude spoke in parable, and out of the parable, the Lord basically sifts the true believers in heart. And then as Christ separated himself, those that really wanted to know the plan of salvation walked with him. And what did the Lord do? He spoke to them plainly. So the sermons are to be able to ignite. Is it so, Lord, for us to go back home and go into communion with God and say, Lord, show us. That's why we have to study to show ourselves as true unto God. There is no way that in one sermon we can be able to give all the information that is needed. It's supposed to make you hungry enough to go home and see. because all of us have to be aware of this anatomy if we really want to do the health message, if we really want to be able to show in this particular dispensation, because the children of Israel was given not only a place to worship God, it wasn't only given them wisdom and understanding. He also gave them help, because they never went through the diseases that was in the world. The only way they did, if they violated the law that the Lord had given in the Leviticus. So that will be the same thing spiritually for us. We need to understand the very place of the tabernacle that we live in, so we can truly represent God as we should. This particular slide, it was showing, as we go through the study, this what the slide is doing is just opening up a little bit more of the prior slide that it had. I can't use the information on this slide to be able to show on the previous slide, because it's not shown there. It's like little by little, it's like the doors are opening, and you will see more in depth why Christ is mediating in the very center. Why is it before the mercy seat? Why the blood was supposed to be placed over the mercy seat? Because without the spilling of the blood, there was no remission of sin. So here in our organs, there is a section that the name that was placed upon it that was discovered by this man called, I think this is Billy. And this is not something that I placed in the chart. This is something basically that was there in medicine. But you know, the Lord is already responsible also. Everything in this world is God's word is something that we take by faith, but he also always leaves a witness. Because faith without work is dead. So now that we see that when the Lord says he died from the foundation of the world, we take it by faith, but it's amazing when we can see that the works of that is manifested, not only by sending his son to fulfill the scripture, but in our anatomy, we also see Christ placed right over the mercy seat, poured out for our redemption. Remember what we just learned. This box is the area where the ark was placed, three things, the commandments, the manna, and also the rod that flooded. This image that lies right over it, it is what the particular person that discovered that particular area called will. It actually formed like a man basically being not only placed in a form of a crucifixion, but it's where the blood the whole entire anatomy. And to be able not to be presumption, as the Lord was showing, I was saying to myself, I wonder what it is. And the more I saw in a medical book, there was something very interesting on the top. It literally had a letter A. And it took me straight to the scripture when the Lord said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The Bible tells you that Christ was crucified from the foundation. It says that there was a lamb that was actually placed. And the more I discovered, I started to realize, oh my goodness, no, this cannot be presumptuous. Let me look deep into it. And the more I looked towards it, not only was this particular part of the human body looked like a crucified Savior, letting out his blood for the rest of the entire body to be able to be fed, to have life, to be able to travel, oxygen, all the very things that make our being to be able to live. It was the very area also that in this center, it is where this master gland actually is mediating, as Christ is mediating in the most holy place, pleading for us. So I had to look to the law and to the testimony if that was true. Oh, yes, it is. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, say the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. He was there from the very beginning. Before even he came down here and fulfilled that scripture, he was crucified prophetically. And then he came down to fulfill that same promise. It's not coincident, dear one. It is the plan of salvation in its perfection. Remember that I was just saying that it was amazing that even though the person that actually discovered this particular part of the body was called William Smith. And I don't know why they say Circle of Willie. The Lord let me pass through that and said, no, let me just explain why this is so important. I just want to go to the other picture. You see that title? I didn't place that there. It says the circle will is. Isn't that amazing? He put his name as Willis. Well, God magnified what man forgot. They forgot that if Christ's will is upon us by being obedient to God for all that he came here to magnify the law. Look at how he's being magnified. He is being crucified right over the mercy seat. Remember what we just spoke about? Here he is. It says he was poured out for our salvation. Here it is that Christ is laying right over the mercy seat for us, and the pituitary gland is right in the center. It shows right here in the black area, this black area right here. See, Christ is laying right over the mercy seat. So that man of God, that mighty Savior, in our anatomy, he saves us for life. It says the life is in the blood. Through that blood also, oxygen is also brought into our body to travel. And in the very center, even in the fulfillment of being the crucified Savior, he mediates in the very heart of it all, brothers and sisters. So, if it wasn't for the spirit of prophecy and the Bible, all of this would have been biology to us, because that is something that we was given since we were small in school, the knowledge of our anatomy. But without the Word of God, it wouldn't be so meaningful. It wouldn't be so powerful. Now I'm removing all the spirit of prophecy and the Bible. I'm not removing it. I'm just showing how remarkable our body was made. But it was only to glorify the one that needs to be glorified, and that is Christ. I'm going to remove myself from the mic if anybody has any questions.
Yes. Blessed Sabbath to everyone. It's so amazing how a doctor or, you know, a surgeon that studied the body didn't have no idea that, you know, everything that the body, you know, express Jesus everywhere, and really they need the Bible to go back to read it and to see how amazing and how beautiful Christ paid the price for all of us. I just want to say that. Amazing. Thank you. Amazing.
Amen, dear sister. It is truly amazing indeed. That's why we know that when the Bible says that he created man in his own image, now I really came to understanding of why it says that he created us in his own image. Because everything that was made in the anatomy was for the glory of God. Man may take it for his own use, but no matter how much he goes in to operate, and no matter how much he goes in and out, it will still glorify God, because it doesn't matter how much we study. Only God knows the footprint and the print of this human anatomy. So on this particular picture, now we see the four sections that we call lobes. And even though in the book of Ezekiel it tells us that those angels that was around, you know, the creatures with the eyes, and it has many, many eyes, and they also have the lion and the calf and the ox and the face of a man and, you know, on the eagle. It's telling you that these were full of eyes because it's just talking about the presence of the heavenly hosts around the throne. But there was something very beautiful that it also tells us, which a lot of people lose the true wisdom of it all. God was telling how the government of heaven was being administered. The lion was showing the kingship that he had. And the ox and the calf was showing his priesthood. The face of a man. The Lord cannot make us as his image, and how could he give us an image if there was no such thing as how to be able to determine what man looked like? We don't know what the Father looked like, but we know that he has a form. That would take away all the ET and all the different theories that they're talking about aliens. Praise God that the Lord doesn't create ugly things like that. When they start taking us towards the belief that there is actual life in other planets, they always make the creatures to be so out of, very horrible. I could easily reject those things, and because I know God, the Creator, the Godhead, is the Godhead of the beautiful. So that is something that is not even considered. Why would he create something away from himself? He said, let us make man in our own image and our likeness. I'm not going to go no further than that, because God gives us what we need, and the rest we will know it in heaven. I don't know it all. I am just a donkey. And the donkey just carried the bearer. That's the only thing we do. Okay? So basically the four lobes shows you that the left atmosphere of our brain and the right atmosphere of our brain, they have the same power, the same omnipotence. This basically the government of God. The Lord said that he don't find it to be robbery to be equal to his Father. We may be familiar in certain things, as in using patients that have stroke. Notice that if they have a stroke on the left side of the brain, what side of the body is affected? The complete opposite side. Because Christ mind the things of his Father, and his Father mind the things of his Son. We just learned in our children study that how when Christ was here, it was everything about his Father. There's nothing that Christ did here was talking about himself. He came to magnify the character of his Father. He came to magnify his Father. When he spoke to Philip, he said, Philip, don't you know? Basically, he was there, and he's still looking to see where's the Father. The Father is in me. Christ never used anything to magnify himself or even speak of himself. Who spoke about Christ was his Father and the Holy Spirit. That's why he said, if you want to reject me, just believe in the word's sake. Because he didn't came here for you to be able to exalt. He came for you to exalt the Father, for you to be aware of his existence, for you to be able to be aware of the love that he has for us by pouring out his Son, that we may be acquainted with our Creator. So the four lobes in our body control certain areas that if you look at the scripture, and you go back to the book of Ezekiel, you will understand that when Ezekiel saw, he said, a wheel from within, a wheel and a wheel and a wheel, and he just saw to him was basically confusion. Tell me, brethren, as you look at the brain right now, you see a lot of lumps all over. And you're trying to figure out, okay, I see a lot of lumps, I don't understand. Well, guess what? That soul of lumps that you see inside of it, they are billions of neurons working the work that the brain is actually sending to the body that we may be able to have life. Anyone have any other question that I can pass you to the other slide? Okay, so we're going to go to the other slide. Remember we were just talking about that your brain way, oh, no, that's not what we were saying, but remember that in the brain itself, it has all the, look at what it says, 100 billion neurons, specialized cells that conduct nervous impulses. So now we're going in inside of those lumps or where it looks like it was a symbol of the angels on the ark. It's just talking about the presence of angels in the throne of God, executing the commands of God for our salvation. In our brain, our neurons are constantly communicating one to one another to be able to do all the very things that we need. Let's not be presumptuous. Let's say, how could that be true? It says that the lightning of how fast the communication of a neuron goes towards any area of our bodies, the speed of how the angels also administrate for us, for our own salvation, it just shows the similarity of how the plan of salvation also works. This is just a picture of what the neurons are. I just want to touch upon the most important, vital part of it. Okay, here. This will be the beginning of the study that was supposed to precede the one from last week. But the explanation was needed so like that you'll have an idea of how we are fearfully and wonderfully made. But the whole purpose of learning the anatomy is also to understand what Christ is doing right now in the most holy place. As he pleads for us, the same way, as he pleads for us, he's pleading right before the mercy seat. See, the pituitary gland lies right here beneath. We know that the very cerebellum is right under, right above, see? And this area of our head, which is where they have the, this is only one side of the atmosphere of our brain, okay? And this is the other side right across here. You see it right next to one another. This is the actual top of our head. This is under. And it's just so amazing how the brain is placed where it looks below our system. And because we know that the ark, the garment of God, is coming from above. It's not earthly. It is heavenly. So if there's any question or any other slide, I'm going to go back to the original of the introduction to be able, I don't know if we're going to have enough time. Dear Elder Rod, may you please guide in this because I'm not really mindful of the time. So I'm going to leave the mic open.
Well, I thank you, Sister, for taking the time to go back over the actual anatomy pictures and explaining it in a little more detail because it's helping me to understand better than what I did before. And I know that it's helping others as well. So I appreciate you taking the time.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there, can you tell me how much minutes that I have left that if we can be able to go through any other slides? Because by God's grace, according to God's dictate, we would like to finish the second part.
You're at an hour right now in going through the slides. I'm willing to stay and have you go through the other slides that you presented already, but we won't have time for you to go through the next part or the remaining part of the slides dealing with Judah until next Sabbath. So I don't know how the rest of you want to deal with the rest of the slides that Sister Rose has that she's already presented, like going over the skeletal frame and the Christogaly up in the skull. But perhaps what we can do now is go ahead and have a closing song and then closing prayer, and then for those that would like to stay after the service, you can go through the skeletal pictures that you already presented in the introduction. So let's go ahead and do that. Because I do want to hear a little more on the Christogaly, the actual bone in the skull that deals with the areas that you've been discussing as far as the brain anatomy itself. Because it all interrelates in there. But again, thank you, dear sister. Our closing song for this service is entitled No More Night. And the link for the lyrics is found at lightministries.com/ID241.htm. No More Night.
Praise the Lord. Amen. The timeless theme, earth and heaven will pass away. It's not a dream. God will make all things new. That day, the curse has now been lifted, brought on by Adam's fall. Root and branches burn till they're no more. No more night. No more pain, no more tears, never crying again, and praise this to the great I am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. See all around how the nations bow down and sing the only sound. Is the praises to Christ, our King. The book of life is opened, and all the names are read. They are covered in His blood and righteousness. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. And praises to the great I am, where we'll live in the light of the risen Lamb. See all the bear, there's a mansion that's prepared just for me, where I will live with my Savior eternally. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again, and praises to the great I am, where we'll live in the light of the risen Lamb. All praises to the great I am. We're gonna live in the light of the risen Lamb.
Amen, dear sister, and thank you. It is a beautiful song, and the words are even more beautiful. I invite you to please kneel and bow your heads for closing prayer. Our dear precious Father, we thank you so much again, Lord, that we are one day closer to getting off of this wicked world, one day closer to eternity and to dwelling with you forever. One day closer to where there's no more pain, no more tears, no more crying again, but to raise our voices in praising to the great I am, because we will truly be able to dwell in thy presence and in the presence of our dear Savior and in the presence of one another. Father, we thank you for being here with us in this Sabbath gathering to worship thee and to praise thy name. We thank you, Father, for opening our understanding in a little more full measure in seeking to comprehend why you created us the way that you do and why you want to dwell with us as your sanctuary. And I pray that you will continue to open our understanding. Continue to recognize that we are your children, created in your image to live your character and to return love and praise and glory to our Father. And please help us to more and more fulfill what you have created us for. We thank you for hearing and answering this prayer and for being with us now, and continue to be with us in the following after church service. And again, Father, thank you that you're in control of all things. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So, dear Sister Rose, if you want to go ahead and put up the slide of the skeleton and the frame and deal with those images and pictures that you brought up in the introduction, please go ahead.
Okay, as we continue, my dear sister had asked a question. My sister asked to be able to explain the area of this particular slide that I was sharing concerning Ezekiel. Not really, like, even though Elijah also was shown the throne, the one that I had mentioned was Ezekiel. Do you remember in the Bible or in the Spirit of Prophecy where it tells you that when Jerusalem and was in a condition where it seems like everything seems to be lost, the priests were scattered, the children of Israel was not doing well, and Ezekiel went through a spiritual depression, please, Elder Ra, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm just going based on a lot of things that I read. Okay, so the Lord had to show Ezekiel that he was still in control. Do you remember when in the book of Ezekiel, the Lord showed him his throne, and he just saw the throne, all of the things was like unfolding. The way how he saw it was just a confusion because it was just too much for him to be able to bear. But the Lord showed him his hand at the very bottom of it all. That to us it might seem as being completely confusing. But in reality, it was saying that even though Jerusalem was in the state that it was, and even though the temple and the priests and all of them were in the position that they were, God was still in control. When we look at the brain right now, you see all of the lumps. It looks like something just unfolding, unfolding, unfolding. And to us, it's just looking at the image and it seems to be, wow, it's just, what is it? But look at where the position of where the master gland is, or the spiritual meaning to understand who is mediating for us. It's in the very bottom of it all. Let's take a little picture part to be able to show. In the very bottom of it all, God is still in control. Even though all of this area seems to be just unfolding and the lumps, and we may not understand what's going on just by looking at it, all of that we look, that seems to be like a confusion, the control of the mercy is at the very bottom of it. Why? Because Christ is mediating as a symbol of the pituitary gland right over the mercy seat for the salvation of man. So these frontal lobe is giving you understanding a little bit, as these are the functions that we have in our body, like the first one that talks about the body sensation and the visual and the spatial perception. It's just talking that the parental lobe is like for us to understand Christ's priesthood. In the vision, which is his likeness, where we can be able to, you see, it's right over where the mercy seat will be, where all of the word of God and the law of God that we have actually learned about this commandment and about this word, and we store it in that particular area. All of the knowledge of God that is given to us through his word is what going to transform our mind into a new creature. Because the understanding of the word of God is what made mind simple in order for us to be able to live the life that the Lord expects us to live. Sister Sheila, I hope that we'll be able to just kind of explain a little bit of what you had asked.
Okay, I think I got it. Okay, the brain is controlled by, I guess, outside the ear, feeling, I mean, everything, but even though like the knowledge of good and evil, when Adam and Eve partake of the knowledge of good and evil, they their eyes and everything was I don't know how to explain it, their feelings. But now, but under all of that, God still control you know, everything. I guess I'm trying to understand if y'all can understand what I'm saying. He controls the whole entire, even though with all our eyes and the vision and the taste, and he still controls the whole brain. I think I get it.
Even though man fell because of sin, and we was attacked by Satan, with all of the tendency of our weakness, the appetite, the lust of the flesh, all these different things that we have felt from, okay? Even though that Satan did this to be able to make us lose our salvation, notice that even in that, the Lord had control, because the plan of salvation was designed even before man fell. It says that when the Father and the Son came into a covenant together. That plan of salvation was already there. It was going to kick in when sin comes in. This is the beauty of the love of the divine Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit that they have upon us. They always had something that in case, because we know we are not like machines. We have a will. We also, even in heaven, the angels have a will. If there was no will, then Satan could have never fallen because he would have been automatically obedient and he wouldn't have a choice. But at the contrary, what the Lord did, he shows that free will is a gift from God. And even though that we have a free will, the Lord also have a plan that in case for whatever purpose, like when a mother, he put us on a bike and teach us how to ride the bike, she knows that we're going to fall because we are just learning to be able to balance. So she knows that we are about to fall, but she may have a way to be able to help us that when we fall, how we recover. God had a plan of salvation in case we fall away. And the amazing thing that even in our anatomy, in the nervous system, notice that what we see in the cerebrum area, which is where the lobes are, it seems to be something that is so hard to be able to understand what's going on inside of it. Because we only see lumps, you know, we see so many things, but then again, there was something remarkable that is happening right beneath it. God's hand is in control for the plan of salvation and the redemption of restoring back what we lost, and that was the image of God. That is the righteousness of God to Christ our Lord. I hope that I was able to share the little knowledge that I. So is it possible that I can move on to the part of the skeleton? If anybody has any questions, you know, I'll try my best to be able to, based on the study and the observation that I was given, I could be able to relate to it. But if it's not, let me know if I could be able to move to the slide. Praise the Lord. You won't go there, sister. This particular slide was just letting us know the reality that the type, which is what God gave Moses to be able to make a pattern of, that pattern was a symbol of the one truly that is the tabernacle that will come and tabernacle himself here on earth. And we were going to sanctify ourselves through him. Okay? One was just like a kindergarten to let us understand what Christ was coming to do, the first pathway. Okay, so the type of the tabernacle here, it is based on all the makings that the Lord gave Moses to do. But we are here to be able to understand the anti-type, which God had actually created and made a body that his son may be able to tabernacle himself among us. So we're going to discuss the framework, which shows the actual tabernacle, or the tabernacle in man's body, okay? So I'm not going to go into the detail concerning what we read because you already know that. Just know that in our anatomy, we also have a holy place. We also have a most holy place, a holy place, and we also have a courtyard, okay? Amazingly, 10 toes are here in the bottom. We have 5 in one side, and we have 5 in one side. But just remember that all the different bones that we're going to have here, we will discuss it in the future, because it's just telling us that when the Lord was actually giving them the measurement of everything that was in the tabernacle, it was describing really the actual frame of the human body. So the area that we're going to come down and is going to keep opening up so we can be able to see, it is going to be just the most holy place and what is inside of it. Remember that is just the framework, which is like the pillars and the different things that was around it. This area right here of our most holy place is what is inside here. That's why I put this little image here as the way how the brain is. The little brown area here, you see that little shape here that is brown? This is the area where the crystal darling is, the area where he is actually cradled. That gland that we was discussing, which is the pituitary gland, that is the area of his location. We're going to discuss it when we go in to speak about the crystal darling. This area is where, will be where the arc, you see the whole brain itself is right in encased inside of where the bones are. This is just telling you the area that is being discussed, which is the most holy place. But the only reason why I wanted to show you here, so you could be able to know in the human anatomy what area of the holy and the most holy place is being spoken about. Okay, here is the other area. Inside, we have where Christ is and all the angelic that was around it. This bone here is just a section that right where in the brain itself is located. So remember, we're looking at the top of our head. And as we looking at the top of our head, looking down, this bone, as we're going to discuss it when I go down to be able to talk about the crystal gallus, is just telling us what was in that particular area inside of the holy and the most holy place. Okay? So if anybody have any questions with what I just explained here, you could come up with mine.
All right, Sister Rose, I got a question. I don't know if it's going to make sense, but I got it anyway. My question is this. We got left side and right side of our brain. So the sanctuary, is it, does it make sense that the left side and right side of the sanctuary? Can you explain that? I don't know if it makes sense, but is there a left side and a right side that means something?
It's not so much that it's a left side and a right side of the sanctuary. The purpose of the left side and the right side of the brain is telling you about the left angel that was over the mercy seat and the right angel that was over the mercy seat. And how these angel was a symbol of the symbolic meaning of the attendance of the heavenly host around the throne. The actual ark itself is a symbol of the government, which is supposed to be like the throne. Basically, when you go to the most holy place, remember in the message of the pillars that we have, it says Christ went into the most holy place, and he went to plead before the throne of the Father. And basically, the ark is where we know that he went to the most holy place. He went before the throne of the Father to plead for us. So the left and the right side of our brain is just showing us the image of, you see how the ark has the two angels, one angel on the left, one angel on the right. And in our brain, you see we have a left hemisphere and we have a right as well. It just shows the similarity. One is the physical of what God gave Moses to make the ark about. And the other one is just giving us the spiritual understanding of how Christ is actually fulfilling the law. Okay? I hope that it might help. So now that we come into this light is just, I just took, like, let's say the head. I just move it out and we're going to discuss the actual head. This is the skull. Inside of the skull, there is the brain. And inside of the brain is the all the neuron, which is showing us the angelic host that was attending the throne. Okay, here, that's why this picture, you know, remember I was telling you it's very hard for me to be able to find pictures that was accurate to the Word of God. There's many philosophies out there. People have, the Jewish have their own intake concerning the sanctuary message. They have other people that try their best to be able to explain the sanctuary message. But God has revealed it to his people. The ones them that in order to come in to the knowledge of God, they have to come into the Sabbath. Because the Sabbath is the door that comes in to know the knowledge of who Christ is. Because Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. So if we come in to the Sabbath, God said he will reveal himself, because that is really the door to come in to know the knowledge of heavenly things. Outside of the Sabbath, only earthly things. Man is going to go based on his understanding. But remember that the Sabbath is part of the Decalogue, that is our wisdom and our understanding. Or the Rock told me, if I went out the way, this is based on what I have studied and what I have seen or acquired, that the Ten Commandments, the heart of the Ten Commandments, it is the fourth commandment, because it's for us to be able to truly understand that he came to magnify those laws to make a knowledge of the truth. Okay, praise God. So because I couldn't find a picture to be able to let them see that what most, when Solomon saw, you remember that there's a temple that is made, which is a tabernacle, that Moses was given a copy, and then Moses was given the pattern through David. He actually did the sanctuary now made of stone. And the way how he designed it, he was shown something else besides just the ark. You know, we know that this ark is not. But he also saw heavenly beings that he actually made for them to be able to see how much of the angelic host was upon the throne. There he made other images, you know, the ones then that, please correct me if I'm wrong, where it had like the four faces, some of the structure that Solomon had made in his temple. You're going to see that some things were added in that particular area. Hey, amen, living creatures. So he was showing what the Lord revealed to him. See, God revealed something to Moses, and then here when Solomon was told to be able to do so, there was a lot of things that were added. There were more candlesticks. If you notice, there were more lavers. So it's like, as what we began our study this in the sermon, when we go and ask the Lord if these things are so, notice that whatever God revealed does not remove the fundamental principle of the pillar of the foundation. At the contrary, it's supposed to exalt it and enhance it even more to make the truth more honorable. So here, in this particular revelation that was given to Solomon, he saw living creatures. And when he saw living creatures, now that we realize that in our brain, those two atmospheres, that looks something similar to the two angels that is in the ark inside of our brain. They have a lot of neurons that work and move and transmit information just like the angels does for us, for the planet of Asia. So the actual skull is a place where the ark is placed inside of it. Is everybody with me so far? Praise the Lord. So now it tells you that it was made of a certain wood. And the wood that was made is called acacia wood. Or the other word, sometimes my accent would allow me to say wood really bad. So I would say acacia for the safe part of it. But notice that this wood, it was taken especially because it was non-perishable. It's just to be able to remain as long as it could. Notice that the body is dead when it dies. The only thing that remains there as a witness that there was a body is the skeleton. In science, also it tells us that sometimes when they want to know who really is the person that died, they have to go into the bone itself and try to find a DNA. And according to the DNA, according to what science tells you, I mean, you know, in the medical field, it tells you more of a story about the person that skeleton belongs to. So inside of the bone, which is where the marrow is where the life is, which is supposed to be how the biblical teaches us. A lot of the things then that is in the Word of God, it is really true. The more we see what is in what he created, it makes and magnify the word of God that is true. Even before man even knew anything about telescope, I mean, what do you call that, that you see things in a very small way? The little, microscope, thank you, Elora. So in other words, before that was even made, before man even knew anything concerning the human anatomy, God already wrote it in his word. He was talking about marrow and what was inside of the marrow and all of these different things. So in reality, we're taking from what is in the word of God already. It is not something that was from man. God already had it. The Bible said that he come in the volume of the book that was written of him. So if we want to know anatomy, if we want to know anything, we have to go to the word of God, because it is the creator that knows how this body was designed. So the skull is a symbol of the place where the most holy place is located, where the earth is the only place that's supposed to be there, right in this area, where it says this is where the most holy place is located. That's where the ark is, right inside of the brain. Okay? Anybody have any questions so far? Okay. So now, because we are visual, how do we able to see? See, they open the skull. It's expanded. The brain is not there. You notice the brain is not there? It's only the bones, which is the actual framework of where the most holy place is. The little area right here is where Christo Gallery, which I will call Christ Gallery. Why Christ Gallery? Because this is the very area where the pituitary bone is cradled in that bone. This area right here, remember that we already seen in the prior slide of the brain, that is right over the mercy seat. Now we take in two sections. One of the sections from the nervous system, and we talking about the skeleton system, that is a complete different system. We don't have it emerged here, so like that there won't be too many confusion. So that's the reason we have to go step by step. We have to have everything in order. If this is the area where the brain's supposed to be, notice where the teeth are, that is a symbol of the elders that sit right before the throne. The area here that looks kind of like a bone that is shaped like angel, it's just telling you all the things that are actually, according to the scripture, is in the heaven. We have 24 elders. We got the presence of the angels. We have Christ, the vertice, and the functions of this government. Anybody have any questions so far that I can be able to? Okay. What these little words are, it's just telling you how, if the Bible tells you that there was actual, on the tabernacle itself, they have 10 on the top, 10 in the bottom, you got 20 on the side, and 20 on the side, that is actually the pillars that was around it. You see that the actual cranial, okay, the cranial bones, 10 cubits, we literally have 10 bones that make that area. You see, wherever it says bone, if you count it, it's exactly 10. The only thing that is added is because they're talking about the mandible, and they're talking about the vomer, and they're talking about the inferior tubernate. These things is going to be discussed later in the slide. It's just to be able to show that when you open the skeleton of your skull, what lies inside, it is a furniture, and that furniture is the ark. Is everybody with me so far before I change the slide? Amen. Praise the Lord. Remember, we are not going into detail concerning the material because they already did. In this particular slide, well, what it did is put the actual skull upside down so you could see where the 24 elder, okay, Elder Ralph was asking, okay, I only see 16 feet. I think it was that he said 16 feet. Okay, remember that the wisdom teeth comes after. I don't want to give up the part of the digestive system, because you know the digestive system starts with our mouth. Okay, so I don't want to do that, because what it's going to do is going to overwhelm it and take you to start thinking about a system that we did not discuss yet. We have to do everything in order, and we just want to do things according to that as well. Okay, I just put a picture next to it just to be able to, the basic electron will be more towards us and the 24 elders. Let me just take the other corner, sorry. Okay. Ignore the very center, okay? We're talking about the way how they sit. They sit supposed to be around on a shape like a mandible for man. It's like we're going to go to the other slide. You can't really see. I just want it in this particular slide so you can be able to see the position of where they were sitting, okay? We got 12. Whether bar feet in the top and 12 on the bottom, which is 24, but then the molar is the one stem that is basically 4 and 4, that means 8. There is something that I will explain when we get to the other system, but this is to be able to just give you a little bit on an idea concerning the 24. And that picture, I don't want to go into much to that picture, because if you notice that this, I don't know who designed it, and the way how they have the four images with all the angel's wings and stuff like that, we're going to have to stick to the Word of God. This is just to be able to see how they were located, okay? I wish I could draw, and then I didn't have to rely upon these pictures. So now this other slide, what it does, it gives you a little bit of more insight of what we just saw concerning the skull. You see this area right here? Remember when we just showed the first slide that shows the type and the anti-type? Remember that there was a little image on the side to show you the location of where the most holy place and the holy place were. This is the area where the crystal gallery is. This, where the crystal gallery is where the actual master gland is cradled. The bones basically cradle that area. So it's like a gallery inside of that area. Okay, so I just wanted people to be able to see where the location is. And the crystal valley is shaped like a beautiful, well, we're going to go down there eventually, but it's just telling you the location here from the bottom up of the skull. Here is right in front of you where it shows you where the location is. And this area that we were talking about, where it shows the location of where all the angelic hosts was going to be, here is the area where you will see the main part of where the cerebellum is located and the cerebrum area, because you see the bottom of the cerebrum in the part of the bottom, and the cerebrum is the one on the top, and then you see where the brainstem. The brainstem is the actual, that's why they have a hole here. Because where the brainstem is located is where you see this little red area on the skull. This is where the stem, which is what you call the spinal cord, is coming down to the rest of the body. I just wanted to let people understand that that hole is where the spinal cord is located. Okay, so far everybody can see? Thank you. So, when I was placing the information, we said Christ was crucified from the foundation of the world. It was just saying where and in what manner. Well, we already saw the first part in the explanation of the nervous system. Okay, so we are going in, remember we're in the skeleton. So this is going to take a little bit of more understanding as to how he came back and fulfilled that. Okay, that bone that we saw in the expansion of the skull that was in purple and it said crystal gallery, this is how it looked. So what I did was just to bring out the picture so you can see this little part here. See this? This is what's called the crystal gallery. Even though the whole thing looked like a turbo crystal, but this was the object of how the pituitary gland is cradle right there. The bone protects that gland from being harmed. And you know, it's right located in the center, very close to our forehead. Because remember, it is not this bottom part. It is the little part. That little part. Right here. It's my forehead. Do you see that, dear brother? So everybody is with Mishpacha, by God's grace. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Okay, let's continue. Now, this particular picture. Remember that the skull is just the area where everything is inside. So, for us not to be presumptuous, the location where all the angelic host is, the Lord even showed you in the brain where they are located, as in where is going to be in that area. Because the actual bone itself, they are actually seen as they have wings, but just not any wing. Notice that they have like four. You got lesser wings and you have greater wings. So when you really think about it, how much wing does your Reuben have? Exactly. So the cherubim have four wings. And then we also have others that have six wings, which is the serpent. And then we have some that have two wings. But the skull has different areas to tell you what type was in that particular area. Okay? So this is just talking about the location of where these angelic hosts was going to be located. Remember, that is just the shell of what we saw with the brain. I'm going to just get off the mic for 5 minutes that in case anybody have any questions, because there's a lot of things here. Praise the Lord. So let's go to the other slide. Well, now we already discussed the location of where the most holy place was and what was inside of the most holy place. And let's look towards a little bit of the actual place where the 24 elders sit. I found it very remarkable that it was called a mandibula. Mandibula for a man. Sitting, this term was not something that I wrote. I'm taking anatomy and basically looking to the scripture to prove it is truth. So when I saw that they actually sat on our area. And our dear sister, a couple of days ago, had sent me an email. And the email was saying, what was the real reason how we have cavities? You know, they always told us that we had cavities because of the candies and stuff, which we know that sugar has a lot to do with the deterioration of any kind of organs that we have. But I found out that the cavities was because the area of our teeth was lacking the very thing that we lack, vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin E, and vitamin K. So whenever we actually are poor in these particular vitamins and minerals, the bone of our body is robbed by teeth. The teeth needs these things then to be able to survive. And when the body is deprived of it, then our teeth shows the cavity. Basically, our man in our mouth is dying because of the lack of vitamins and minerals that it needs, because the teeth feed also. They have veins, and they also have the same nutrients that the bone uses to be able to be strong. The teeth need it itself. Notice that they are actually embedded in a bone. All of the things then that the teeth need, they're actually getting the nutrients from the bone. So if our bone is missing these nutrients, that's where our cavities start to come up in our teeth. So for better dental hygiene, I wish I knew before I lost mine, that these things then was what we were needing and we were lacking that allow us to have the cavities. Here in the picture, you can see, they have veins. They have blood vessels. See the bones that are actually holding? Okay, you see, even the teeth itself, they have crowns. See the bones that are being shown? Sorry, let me take back the pointer. See, they have crowns. They have bones. The roots that they have nerves. They have blood vessels. They have all the things that a man has. Notice that whenever there is an infected people, the teeth has any kind of a problem. If the teeth is not taken care of, and for whatever reason the infection begins and the teeth is basically going bad, they have to extract it, because if he doesn't extract it, that infection will spread to the others and it jeopardizes them. So we will discuss the difference between the teeth and the molars and why it comes to, as we get older, the wisdom teeth comes up. Well, as we get mature in the Word of God, wisdom is given for us to understand more and more about our Creator. Okay, so I'm not going to give that information too much until we get to the digestive system. Is everybody so far with us? Okay, that will end the second part. I hope and pray that some of the questions that you had, there was answered. And if you need more one-on-one, I'm available by God's grace after 9. Whatever the Lord move your heart to be able to do so. But the whole objective is for you to be able to really study for yourself and go to God, and the Lord will reveal maybe things that I have not even seen or even experienced. God bless everyone, and thank you for your patience.
Amen, dear sister, and thank you so much for taking the extra time to walk us through the slides and reveal a little bit more to us. I appreciate it very much. Are there any questions, any thoughts, any ideas that you'd like to share, any songs that you'd like to sing? Please feel free to do so, dear ones.
I would like to share a song. But first I want to give praise to God that He allows us to stay in and not make us fall out as much as we did. And praise God to His glory that He's truly in control of all things.
Oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Oh Jesucristo, ven prepárame para hacerme un santuario con pureza y santidad. Afligida por verdad, con tus gracias, yo seré un santuario para ti. Oh Lord, prepare to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. There'll be a living sanctuary for you. Oh Dios, prepárame por serme un santuario puro y santo, justo y fiel, con tus gracias yo seré un santuario
para ti. Amen.
Well, dear ones, I want to thank you for coming to our church service today and fellowshipping with us. And thank you so much for your prayers and for your brother and sistership. And I pray that God will go with each one to lead and guide you and to bless you richly and abundantly in this new coming week until we're able to come back together again in sweet harmony, fellowship, and love in worshiping our God. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Be perfect, be of good comfort. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. God bless you, one.
Until we keep you first place, until we let you begin to fill us with your spirit, me and you will always be saved. Nothing matters, nothing's gained without your holy presence. Our lives are lived in vain. Lord, we want to know you, live our lives to show you all the love we owe you. We're seekers of your heart. Because your heart grows broken, because you so the need, because you give so freely, because of Calvary, we can now be called your completed creation, filled with you alone. Lord, we want to know you, live our lives to show you all the love we owe you. We're seekers of your heart. Lord, we want to know you, live our lives to show you all